William Morrow and Harper Audio present Task Force Hogan, the World War II tank battalion that spearheaded the liberation of Europe, by William R. Hogan, read by Kaleo Griffith. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/Task Force Hogan. It contains a map of the route of Task Force Hogan. The majority of the dialogue and conversations in this narrative nonfiction book are not meant to be a word-for-word transcript. Rather, the author leaned on recollections of conversations with his father and knowledge of his personality, values, and manner of speech to recreate what dialogue that occurred over 80 years ago might have sounded like. In this, he also used his more than 20 years of experience in the U.S. Army to recreate what is the common language of soldiers. Of course, with most of the eyewitnesses long deceased, the author relied on varying levels of conjecture to fill in the remaining gaps. Every effort was made to make the book as factually accurate as possible, including diligent research, personal interviews, and the inclusion of information from the personal records of the people involved in the story. The views expressed in this publication are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Department of Defense or the U.S. government, and the public release clearance of this publication by the Department of Defense does not imply Department of Defense endorsement. 1. First Blood on Hill 91, July 10th through 15th, 1944. Sam Hogan wiped the sweat off his brow. His leather tanker's helmet liner was saturated, and the perspiration stung his blue eyes. Racing in all directions, his mind was a frenzy of thoughts and recollections. He tried to check off in his head some of the myriad must-dos learned over countless classes and field exercises, preparing for this very day. Use the folds in the terrain to protect your tanks and men from hidden enemy cannon. He squinted to fight the burning and to narrow his vision in the vain hope of sighting the hidden enemy. An enemy waiting in ambush will likely see you before you see them. More words of the Armored Force Field Manual, the Bible of U.S. tankers, echoed in his head. Painstaking and meticulous attention to detail may mean the difference between success and failure of an operation and life and death of the individual. Time slowed to a crawl. Adrenaline put his body on high alert and made him aware of everything. His hands were slippery as he clenched field glasses to his chest. Churning acid flooded his stomach, a loud rhythmic beating, his heartbeat, amplified by the snug-fitting football-style crash helmet, pounded in his eardrums. He took a deep, slow breath in an attempt to slow his heart rate and calm his nerves. Standing with his head and shoulders outside the hatch of his command tank, the 28-year-old Army Lieutenant Colonel took one last look through his field glasses and swallowed hard. Somewhere across the fertile patchwork of chocolate-brown fields and loam-green hedgerows were the German positions, heavy tanks, anti-tank guns, and dug-in infantry waiting to repel the recently arrived invaders. Sam could smell his own sweat mixed with fuel fumes, hot, smoggy air escaping up through the commander's hatch into the relatively cooler summer air. Ahead, in the rolling Norman fields, stood the forward elements of Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's Army Group B. Led by veterans of the Russian front, fitted with state-of-the-art equipment, camouflage uniforms, Mark V Panther tanks, and handheld anti-tank rockets, forerunners of the modern rocket-propelled grenades, RPGs, and javelin missiles. Initial reports from the other U.S. battalion commanders were that even the Sherman medium tank was hopelessly under-armored and
sample complete. Ready to continue?